Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When it comes to home improvement, fixing stuff up around your house, there's a lot that we can do ourselves. And when you look at it, that's why Lowe's and Home Depot and Menards and stores like them have been able to build kind of the vast empires that they've got. They're built around this idea that you can do it yourself. All you need is a little encouragement and the stuff that they're selling, and you can fix up your house on your own. They've even got slogans that help enforce that idea. Slogans like, you can do it, we can help. Never stop improving. Improving home improvement. You've heard all of these before. And so when something comes up and it breaks in my house or something needs to be upgraded, I think of these stores and I see the advertisements on TV and I wonder, is this something I can do for myself? And 9 times out of 10, I try it. Sometimes with great success and sometimes not so much. But unfortunately, this idea of, you can do it, we can help, that idea that you can do it all, unfortunately sometimes bleeds over into how I read the scriptures. And our epistle reading today is a good example of where that can go wrong. This is Philippians chapter 4. It's verse 6. The verses aren't marked in your bulletin, but if you're looking at your bulletin, it starts, verse 6 starts the third sentence down. It's where Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. For years, I would read that line and other places like it where the Bible talks about worry and anxiety. And when I was consumed by my own worry and anxiety, I would think, I can do this. I would look to these verses, and I would try to psych myself up to believe that if I just try hard enough or think about things that I'm not worrying about, or if I just have the right process, I can rid myself of my own worry. And I doubt that I'm alone in that. For many of us, and probably all of us, worry and anxiety are familiar companions. They come in and out of our lives. In some of our lives, they're there more than others. And sometimes they become so ever-present that we just kind of give up. And we think to ourselves that worry and anxiety are just a normal part of life. And we stop struggling against them. We think, well, everybody worries. And after all, look at the world around us. There's a lot we've got to worry about. You think about all the worries and anxieties that we face, many of them are the same. Look at the month and a half, 2 months that we've just lived through here in the United States of one natural disaster after another. If we live on the coasts, we worry about flooding and hurricanes. If we live in the Midwest like this, we worry about tornadoes and severe storms. You live maybe on the East Coast, you worry about the fires that we've heard again this week that have gotten out of control in California. We worry about these things and what they're going to do to our homes, to the things and the people that we love. We worry about our finances. We worry, how are we going to pay back the student loans that we've taken out? We worry about our kids. How are they going to pay for the student loans that they have to take? We worry about the future and how are we going to ever be able to save enough for retirement? And then we worry about other people's future. One of the things they don't tell you about being a parent is you begin to worry about your kids. And for a long time, I was under the impression that after my kids grow up and they hit, that magic age, 18, 19, they move out of the house, I could stop worrying about them. But I've heard from many of you that's not the case. Your kids leave and you worry more when they're gone than when they were with you. Worry and anxiety are so often constant companions with us. And oftentimes as Christians, we know that when we are facing these things, the place that we turn for comfort, for encouragement and advice is God's Word, and rightly so. But when we turn to God's Word and we hear injunctions like Paul's here in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, it's tempting to hear those words and think they're kind of like a pep talk from God. He's trying to psych us up to get us to just stop worrying. And I think sometimes we think that because that's how we approach a lot of different areas in our lives. I know as a coach, This is what I do a lot for our athletes when they're out and they're running the cross-country course. You know, midway through the race, when they begin to slow down as a coach, and the other coaches are right there with me, we're standing there on the sidelines and we're shouting words of encouragement to the kids. Don't slow down. Keep up the pace. Eyes up. Just catch that next person in front of you. We're shouting those things to them in the midst of that race because we know at that point in the race, they've got another voice inside their head. A voice that's like stuck on repeat saying, you can't do this. Your legs are sore. Your knees are hurting. You're tired. You can't make it up another hill. You need to slow down. And as a coach, I want them to ignore that little voice inside their head. I want them to listen to my voice and what I'm telling them because as a coach, working with them every day of the week, I know what they can do and what they're capable of. Really, my words are just an encouragement to get them to do what I know they can do, to run the race in a way that I know that they can run it. But if I'm standing there as a coach on the sidelines and I'm shouting those words of encouragement to someone else, to someone maybe who just decided that morning to get up and run a race and they haven't trained for it at all, no amount of encouragement or positive thinking is going to get them to be able to run that race well. And beyond that, there are times in our lives where we just run up against a wall, the limits of our natural abilities. Limits where we just, no matter how much positive thinking or encouragement or hard work or effort we put in, we just can't do it ourselves. Last winter is a good example to go back to this home improvement thing. With all those freezes and thaws we had, I noticed at one point in the spring that one of the pipes leading out to my hose had burst because I hadn't shut the thing off when I should have. And I remember looking at this pipe thinking immediately, I can do this. Everything I need to fix it is just a 5-minute trip down the street. But as I continue to think about it, I realize my track record working with water pipes isn't so great. I'm batting 100. Every time I've touched them, I've always made the situation worse. I realized there was a small chance I could fix this thing and make it right. And there was nearly 100% chance I would touch this thing and I'd flood my basement. I knew this was a time I couldn't do it myself. I needed to call someone. So I called in Tim Weber, who has his job working at fixing people's homes. And he came and did what I could not, and did a lot faster than I couldn't do. There are times when we reach these limits of our personal ability, when we need to realize that we can't do it ourselves, that we need to call someone. And as we look at our epistle for today, Philippians 4, where Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, what I'm saying to you this morning is that is a time when you're dealing with worry and anxiety. You need to change your slogan from, I can do this, to, let's call somebody. As much as I'd like to believe that I can deal with my own worries and anxieties and fears, I can't. Too often, they're just much larger than I could ever deal with on my own. And when you take a closer look at Philippians 4, verse 6, the only reason I read it kind of in that way, or I read it in that way, as kind of a pep talk from God and encouragement to psych myself up is because I wasn't reading the whole thing. I'd read the first part of that, do not be anxious about anything, and I'd skim over the rest. But in the immediately following that, as Paul's writing this, he says, do not be anxious about anything. And then he goes on, but in everything, my prayer and supplication, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, the imagery that Paul's painting here of how we deal with our worries and anxieties, it's not that image of a coach standing on the sideline. It's not like Paul standing on the sideline as we're running by shouting his encouragement. You can do this. You can stop worrying. Just try it. Just try a little harder and you can banish your worries and your anxieties all on your own. That's not the picture that we get in Philippians 4. Instead, the picture we get in Philippians 4 It's Paul standing there saying, you can't do it yourself. Stop. Call somebody. So he's saying, do not be anxious about anything. But when anxieties and worries come, then take those anxieties and those worries and lay them at the feet of Christ. And then, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Not because you did it on your own, not because you did it yourself, but because you called on the one who could do what you could not. And what Paul says here in Philippians, it's mirrored in Jesus' words. When he talks about worry in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. So in Matthew 6, Jesus famously says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And like Philippians 4, I would read those passages, and I would hear in my mind, I can do this. If I just read these verses often enough, I'll figure it out. The secret formula so that I can stop worrying about my life and all these things in it. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't standing on the sidelines shouting, just stop worrying. Instead, he's pointing us to God. You see, in these passages in Matthew 6, Jesus talks about the very basic, the most basic things that we worry about in our lives. Our food, our shelter, our clothing. And in addressing these worries and concerns that we have, he points to creation, to how God cares for the birds of the air and how God clothes the lilies of the field. And he says, if God cares for all of these things in creation this way, how much more will God take care of you and your worries? And Jesus ends that passage in the same way Paul ends this portion in Philippians 4. By redirecting our gaze and our attention from ourselves to God. And Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, worries and anxieties are an unavoidable part of life. You know, I wish at some point we'd hit a point in our lives where we'd be able to confidently say we'll never have to worry again. But that's not the case. What really it comes down to is when the worries and the anxieties come, what will you do? How will you react? Will you think to yourself, I can do this if I just try hard enough? Or will you have in mind what God points to here, both in Philippians and Matthew 6, that when those worries and anxieties come, we need to look to him, the one who has that power and ability. So there was a father and daughter. They were making their way home from school. They were in the car, and they were working on the daughter's memory work for the next day. And as they were going over this memory work again and again, his daughter was getting more and more anxious, more and more worried. The tears began to flow, and she began to say things like, I can't do this. No one else has any problem remembering these things. I just can't remember them. I can't do it. And the father's reaction at first was to put on that coach's hat, say to his daughter, you can do this. It just takes practice. Everybody struggles with memory the same way, memorizing things the same way as you are. You just don't see that because you see your friends come in and you don't see all the hard work that they're putting in just like you're putting in now. It's okay. Just stop worrying. But for all of that, none of it really made it any better. Telling his daughter to stop worrying didn't make the worries go away. If anything, it just made her more anxious and more worried. And finally, as they continued to drive, inspiration hit. You could say that God opened the eyes of this father to the things that his daughter needed to hear in that moment. He realized that he couldn't really change the circumstances in that moment. That come the next day, that test would be given whether he liked it or not, or she was prepared or not. He couldn't take away her worry or her anxiety as much as he wanted to do that. But he realized he could point her to the one who could. And so he said to his daughter, there's two things I want you to remember when you're worried or anxious. Two things I want you to keep in mind. Number one, Jesus loves you unconditionally. And nothing you could do will ever change that. Number two, your mother and I, we love you unconditionally. And there is nothing you can do that will ever change that. No matter how well or badly you do on your test tomorrow or in any other day, nothing can change the love of God that He has for you in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid with His life for you. Nothing will take that away. And compared to that, what is there to worry about? So that gets at the heart of what Jesus and Paul have to say about our worries and our anxieties. Worries and anxieties, these are unavoidable parts of our lives. More often than not, even the little worries are bigger than we could ever possibly handle. But we do have a God who does have the power to handle them. So this is why Paul is able to write in Philippians chapter 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, present your requests to God. And then may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Not because you did it, but because He did. In Jesus' name, amen.